Well, thank you, worship team. Noah, Emma, Jonas, Andrew. It was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Yeah, what a blessing. I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. Did you? Yeah? Meet together with family, friends. Yeah, that's a good thing. What a tradition. I find the older I get, the more I appreciate those traditions that we have every year. And the traditional things, maybe a little melancholy, but they're good. Traditions are good. And I'm thinking how we started off, the thing it was, Joy to the World. What a traditional song. And when you go out caroling, which we've done in the past, not every year, but quite a few times, those traditional Christmas songs are just filled with the glory of God. You know, Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, We Three Kings, I could go on and on. But they're wonderful, though. They're wonderful. But I see us as a culture stepping away more and more from traditional things that were established in the creation of this nation. This nation always celebrated things like Christmas, Easter. Now, we've got wonderful things we celebrate about this nation. What a great nation. The 4th of July, our independence, our freedom. And I believe God's hand was always upon this nation, raising it up. It's his providence that created this nation. As Jeremiah says, God raises nations up and he brings them down. And I wonder what direction we're going in now. Because as Scripture says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, your traditions nullify the word of God. So I'm thankful that this morning we can look at those traditions, even if it was just with some worship songs, focusing on what lies ahead. Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Redeemer, our eternal King. Born in a manger, that was his throne. Hallelujah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wanted to start off today looking at, it just kind of came into place this morning as we started off, and I thought about traditional songs, but about this nation and about the faith that this nation has or doesn't have. But there is a remnant that is holding on to faith, and I want to encourage each one of you who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to remain strong and stand firm in that faith. And it goes back to our founding, and I wanted to bring some points out about our nation before I go to Romans 14. I read this recently about George Washington, and George Washington noted that it was, quote, the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor, end quote. This was stated in the beginning of his Thanksgiving Day proclamation, which he issued on October 3rd, 1789. Through that proclamation, Washington assigned the country's first Thanksgiving Day to take place November 26th, so that Americans as a whole could, quote, unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. I thought that was wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for impressing that on the first president of these United States. America has enjoyed freedom, liberty, and justice for all. It's in our founding documents. America was established by the hand of God, I believe, just as Scripture says in Jeremiah 18. America is a nation that has always acknowledged God. All the presidents from from Washington to Joe Biden have laid their hand on a Bible and sworn their oath, on a Bible and sworn their oath, every one of them. America is a nation that has always celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we continue to. We have freedoms. And freedom always comes at a cost, a price. Freedom is not free. Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, had made this statement, a famous quote. You may have heard it before. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Abraham Lincoln said, America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves. You wonder where I'm going with this. Well, chapter 14 of Romans is about faith. And if we don't hold to those principles that Washington and President Lincoln so wonderfully articulated about holding on to these things that are true, standing firm in them, protecting them, fighting for them, the church will be the same in America, the Church of Jesus Christ. The freedom that we have of faith in this country. Galatians, first chapter. This was Paul's first letter to the church. The Apostle Paul, his very first letter to the church in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. That was in 48 AD when he wrote that. According to the will of our God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 Galatians in the fifth chapter, Paul writes, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. That can be the law. That can be the slavery of sin. We've been set free. Does somebody want to help me preach here this morning? I need a scripture verse read from Luke. You can just stand up where you're at and declare it, proclaim it loudly. Go to Luke. Who would volunteer? Okay, Denise. Denise, would you go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and read verse 18? This is, I'll explain more once you get there and read that. So when you find it, would you please stand up and read that loud?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Denise. I hope you all heard that clearly. That was from the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus responded. He sat down and everybody looked at him. And he responded by saying, upon your hearing this today, that scripture is fulfilled. Upon your hearing that, he was in the synagogue, that scripture is fulfilled. Because Jesus had come to do just that. Now, where the Lord is, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? And if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. We have a if and a then there. Jesus said to those who had believed in him, He said, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold, then, we've talked about this before, the ifs and the thens in Scripture, it's up to us. So I'm going to go now to Romans 14. We are going to finish up, God willing, Romans chapter 14 today. We'll be reading from verses 13 to 23, and I'll simply ask that the Lord bless the reading of His word. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit that you have imparted into us through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us. You give us everything we need for life and freedom and a godly life, a godly walk in a way that honors God. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for sealing us for the day of redemption. Now would you bless the reading of the word that you inspired. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Before we get into chapter 13, I want to reflect back on chapter 13. I don't know if you remember about that, but I didn't do it all in one sermon. But one of those sermons, the title was Sound the Alarm. You remember that? I blew the shofar. We played Blow the Trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the Alarm on my holy mountain. Because it said we have no debt. We should have no debt outstanding. No debt. If we owe something to Caesar, let us give it to Caesar. Okay, if we owe something to God, let us give it to God. And the debt that we have is going to be an outstanding debt, a forever debt. We are ever in debt to what? Love one another. We always have that debt to love one another and to love mankind. That's the world. We need to not love the worldly things, of course. We need to love the world as Christ loved the world. But do this, Paul wrote in chapter 13, understanding the present time. And we just read that in Galatians 2. Jesus delivered us from this present evil. And that was in 48 AD. We are in 2022. Present evil. Evil has never left us, and it won't until that day comes. And that's what we're to love one another, understanding the present time. And that time, as Paul said it, is that the time is of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. You remember that? It's nearer now than when we first believed. It's nearer now than when I preached it 2 or 3 weeks ago. Our salvation. And our salvation means that day. For that day draws near, Paul said. That day is a day of judgment. And that judgment will be for the whole world. So I brought up faith. I brought up judgment. And that is my segue into chapter 14 of Romans. I'm going to read it one or two verses at a time. And let's just walk through Romans now, chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. I'll back up one verse to make that connection about this ongoing judgment that awaits each one of us. Because everybody sitting in a pew here will be judged one day too. If your faith is in Christ and you're redeemed, you will not have to face the eternal judgment, but we will face judgment on the Bema seat. And that is for the things that we've done, the things that we haven't done that we should have done. Anything good or bad will be judged for that. But thankfully, it's under the blood of Jesus, and we're secure in Christ. Let's never doubt that. We're not doubters. Hallelujah. So verse 12 of Romans 14 is, so then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. And this is our segue into verse 13. Therefore, verse 13, let us stop passing judgment on one another. You see that? Judgment's coming. We will all be judged. Paul says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. This whole chapter, chapter 14, Paul deals with brothers judging each other over disputable matters. Listen to this verse now in verse 14. This is important that we understand it because Paul qualified everything he's going to write, not only in chapter 14, but as it carries over into chapter 15. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him, it is unclean. Verse 13 says, over disputable matters. Am I right? Yeah. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Let me read this. Romans 14. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. I wanted to emphasize that because it qualifies the whole chapter. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, this isn't about any matter at all. It's about disputable matters. We'll understand that as we follow Paul through this. But that's what Paul's directive is, acceptance and not judging. Paul's understanding regarding legalistic taboos concerning foods, certain foods, has now changed. He is now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. He is in Christ and has been set free from all the rules and regulations of the law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This, we're going to see strong and weak faith there. The brothers who have a strong faith are the ones who accept that all food is clean. All things are okay to eat. The weak faith ones are probably the Hebrew believers, the Jewish believers, who couldn't let go of the traditions of the law. All the regulations that you can't eat, you can't eat this, you can't drink that. But Paul understood as being in Christ, he is set free. And he's fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. So being in Christ and being fully convinced, that is strong faith. As one who is in the Lord, I'm fully convinced. Also, but to others who aren't convinced, some foods are unclean. And that's probably the redeemed Jews that are still influenced by the law. I had the same situation when I came to Christ at 34 years old. Not that I was a strong, practicing, mainline denominational. I was a Catholic. Cindy and I were both Catholic. We were raised Catholic. We got married in a Catholic church. Had our kids baptized in the Catholic church. And then I came to Christ. And I knew there was freedom, but it just didn't line up. I figured I had just missed something along the way. You know, 34 years in the Catholic Church, I figured I just was missing all this about being born again. You know, having all my sins forgiven, I must have missed it. But over a period of 2 to 3 years, I realized I was a square peg in a round hole because a lot of the things that I learned here did not line up with the doctrines and dogmas of the Catholic Church. They just didn't. There were regulations and rules in the Catholic Church that just didn't make any sense. It didn't line up with the Word of God. So that hasn't changed. It was the same for the Jewish believers in 48 AD, and it was the same for me in 1983. Verse 15, Paul now addresses the stronger brother. This, in verse 15, he addresses the stronger brother. He says, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Remember chapter 13, a debt to love one another? I know you're going to go through a series of one another. You got it, I think, but it just didn't click with you. This is wonderful, though, and it was from Romans. And I'm going to point that out again. If your brother is distressed by what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. So we can see, I think clearly, that there were those who could eat anything. They understood that no food is unclean in itself. Jesus said so. But there were others that were still holding on to the traditions of the Jewish faith and the law. And Paul addresses that. And it was to the stronger brothers to accept the weaker brothers and don't pass judgment on them over these disputable matters. In other words, in verse 16, Paul says, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. So you don't want to push the envelope, I might say, so that they're saying that that's evil, of what you're doing is evil, so give it up. It's not that important. If you have to give up something to keep peace with your brother and not destroy his faith, do that. The point is walking in faith with a proper understanding. And this is in verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God, this is verse 17 and 18. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men and has got the right priorities. If you're pleasing God, you might not please all men, but it gives us a confidence, like Paul said, I am thoroughly convinced. He was convicted. He walked in faith. And we need to understand these things. And I know as a denomination, I'm aware when I remember Titus Kaufman asked me, probably around 80, I got saved in 83, it was probably about 85. I got involved with the Alden Pregnancy Information Center, became the executive director. It was kind of delegated to me. I didn't champion for that position, but somebody had to do it, so I took over. I was the executive director. Titus Kaufman and I were talking one day. He says, Dave, I'd like you to come and share about your ministry. And I did. And I felt a little awkward there because all the women had head coverings, or most of them did, back then. I'm sure you remember that. So I know from your history and your traditions you had to deal with that over the years. And I think this is a very good example or a place to go for understanding on how you deal with those things. And obviously, here you are, 85, quite a few years later, and there's no head coverings. Now, are you sinning by not wearing head coverings? Well, if you thought you were, you should have your head covering on. And if somebody has a head covering, and we had some visitors for a while that did wear head coverings, that was okay. Was there any concern, division over that? So we learn these things over time, but it takes an effort, and it takes understanding the Word of God and God's heart. And if we serve God in that manner, we are pleasing to him. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness. And that's the theme, my brothers and sisters, of the whole letter. Remember? Romans 1:17. In the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed from first to last. A righteousness that is by faith. That's why it is said the righteous will live, or the righteous will walk by faith. It's about faith. And faith produces righteousness and peace and joy, because we're at peace with God. And that should give us great joy. So that's some kingdom principles Paul's bringing out here, this whole theme of Romans. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And we see that in verse 1 here of chapter 14. Paul's letter continues from 13, obviously, his writing. But I can't help but think that Paul would put the pen down or the quill down and go off and pray. Just, you know, back away from his letter. That's a lot of writing. And I believe he wrote that, I think I mentioned that last time I preached, from Corinth. And a lot of those things from Corinth that he was dealing with and that he learned from Corinth, he passed on to the church in Rome. So he was thinking about all these things. But on the heels of what he said in chapter 13, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Then he goes to chapter 14, verse 1, accept him whose faith is weak. He starts off about faith. We can't miss this. We have to see how important it is, because I'll tell you right now, he starts off with faith, and at the last verse of chapter 14, he ends with faith. They're bookends. Faith. Faith, walking in faith, should give us freedom. It should give us peace. It should give us joy. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. And that's serving in love. A reference back to Galatians again about this. Paul writes to that church in his very first letter that he wrote, was to Galatia. For you were once darkness, in chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 of Galatians. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. A noble desire to have? How much time do we spend? You ask yourself. I can ask myself. How much time do we spend thinking, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I'm not doing, which maybe I should be doing, is it pleasing to God? Or am I displeasing God? If we all do that and we walk in faith and in sincere love one for another, there's nothing that can divide us. I'll tell you the truth, and I'll testify. We got a few guys here from our men's group. We're a diverse group. We're very diverse. But we've been meeting together for years and years, and we've never had a battle. And we've gone to some challenging scriptures where there could be disputable matters, where there could be indisputable matters. And by the grace of God, he's given us a spirit of unity. Am I right? Jeff's part of the group. Kevin's been there. Andrew's been in the group. That's by God's grace, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's because we've made an effort. It says to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul writes that to the church in Ephesus. So if you make the effort, it will definitely pay off. Verse 19. I just got done reading about righteousness and truth and find out what pleases the Lord. Verse 19, as we continue on. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. I hope you see that. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Now, how do we understand mutual edification? Edification means what? Encouraging one another, building one another up, strengthening the other person. And this fits wonderfully into the weak and strong faith. Because somebody, and Paul's writing it, this is Paul writing about strong and weak faith in the body of Christ. It does exist. But it doesn't have to be a lifetime walk. Because through teaching, through edification, encouragement, discussion, and a greater understanding, our faith can grow. Correct? Can I have an amen? Amen. Our faith can grow. Our faith can increase. And how does faith come? By what?
By hearing.
And hearing what, Darwin?
God's word.
God's word. You can't go wrong. Holding on to God's word and desiring to understand it, and then having a desire to please God, to please Him by doing what He tells us to do, what He directs us to do. And He'll never, my brothers and sisters, He'll never direct us to do anything that He won't give us the ability to fulfill. He never will tell us, direct us, to do something that it would be impossible for us to do. But we have to learn to walk by faith and do it with proper understanding. Verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. I hope those in Rome saw that. Paul's not compromising anything. He's being blatantly open about the truth. He said, do not destroy it. Now, he's talking to the stronger brother. But he says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. Because God said all food is clean. But it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. We might ask ourselves, okay, you just read that and we're not. What is the work? What could be the work of God in each one of us? What's the work of God that Paul may be referring to? Well, I thought of Ephesians chapter 2. And you're familiar with these scripture verses, these three verses. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God had a plan for each one of us. Paul said to the church in Philippi, he said, I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me for. Whatever he saved me for, Paul was saying, I want to take hold of that. Another noble, godly desire. Search your hearts. Pray. Why did God save you? Not so that you can come here on Sunday for an hour and a half, and then leave. He saved you for a tremendous purpose. It may be not as great as maybe some that we see. We're not all a Franklin Graham's, you know, Dr. David Jeremiah's, where we go and speak to thousands and thousands of people, you know. Maybe we all don't have that sell-out attitude like Mother Teresa, God bless her soul. She gave it all. But something. God saved us for a reason and a purpose. It could be as simple as being a godly mother and a godly father. And if that's your purpose, then do it. And do it with all your heart. Verse 22 and 23. So, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Whatever you believe, right? It kind of wraps it up here. I don't think I wasted my time reading all this. I pointed some things out, but here's Paul's advice. He says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is a man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Verse 23, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. We're called to live by faith, aren't we? We just read that. Walk by faith, live by faith. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not, what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we're called to walk by the Spirit. We're called to walk by faith. That's our charge. And it's possible. But we have to have that desire, my brothers and sisters. Verse 22. Whatever you believe about these things, and that's talking about disputable matters. These things, in the context, okay? We start off, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Not indisputable. We're not talking about sin. It can lead to sin. We see that because of doubt. Disputable matters. Keep it to yourself. These disputable matters, whatever you think about eating, drinking, maybe I'll go as far as saying head coverings and that. We see that that was cultural. Paul made a point by referring to that. He was making a spiritual point. We see that throughout Scripture using the covering of the head. But it wasn't a mandate given. So, but any, whatever you believe about these things, keep them to yourself. Still in verse 22, the strong Christians were not required to go against their convictions or change their standards. We didn't see that, did we? We didn't see where we headed. Well, they believe this, eating pork is wrong. I'm going to give up eating pork. Keep it to yourself. Have a pork roast at home whenever you want. Just don't invite Levi, who believes it's sin. For him, it's wrong. Keep that matter to yourself. So they weren't called to change their convictions or their standards, that they were not to flaunt their Christian freedom, but keep it a private matter. That we've got freedom, but be careful with that freedom. And by what he approves. In the context, that's what he eats or drinks. Those things like that, etc. And verse 23, wrapping that up. Paul says, but the man who has doubts, having doubts does not reveal faith. If you have doubts, that's not faith. Faith is the assurance and confidence of things hoped for, things unseen. But it's having confidence. Faith is trust. I think Cindy has a Jewish Bible that says, it never uses faith, right? The word it says trust, trust, trust. And it is, it's trusting God, it's trusting His word. Everything. And it's in the line of faith. Everything that is not from or through or in or by faith. That's everything. If it's not by faith, you understand that? Okay, that's where the problem exists. Everything again. The matters discussed above, namely conduct about which there can be legitimate differences of opinion between Christians. And that's called disputable matters. And faith, in verse 23, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Faith, in the context here, relates to the conviction that one's action is in keeping with God's will. It doesn't say the man with strong faith and the man without faith. It says the man weak faith. He's whose faith is weak without passing judgment and disputable. One man's faith allows it. It's strong and weak faith. So it doesn't mean that the person doesn't have faith. His faith is just not in line right now with Scripture and the freedom in Scripture. Weak or strong, but it's faith. So that's a conviction there that weak faith, the weaker brother, believes that whatever he's doing is to honor and serve God. And when in doubt, in between, don't. When in doubt, don't. We've heard this before. It started us on this course of do's and don'ts. Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's constant discipleship. That's constant learning. We should always be on a learning curve. That's why I love this expository preaching, because we can go through. You know, we finished up. That's it for chapter 14. We've got two chapters left, 15 and 16. We've read every word in the book of Romans. You have a wealth of information that we've covered. Now, how much you take from it? Study to show yourselves approved unto God. We covered every word in those 14 chapters, and I love it because it's so rich in theology, studying to know God better. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Constant learning, constant being challenged, growing in faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word. Get more word. Wrestle with these things, not by yourself, but in community, in with others. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In conclusion here, I want to bring out some points. Romans 14 is framed in by faith. The book ends, I said. Chapter 14 is about faith, which reveals a lot of freedom. It starts, verse 1, faith, weak faith. Verse 23, faith. Everything that is not of faith is sin. Faith and faith. So we've just read and examined everything in between that. God has given us all a measure of faith, which is expected, my brothers and sisters, to grow. Some have strong faith, others have weak faith. The stronger ones help those who have a weaker faith. Don't judge them, help them. We are to accept those with whose faith is weak without passing any judgment on disputable, that's important, matters. Presently, there are many matters that are in great dispute. We've got to be aware of what's going on out there, what's going on in the church. Some may say, well, no, that's a disputable matter. My brothers and sisters, if it's sin, it's indisputable. It's indisputable. We don't wrestle. We don't try and find ground on that. Okay, well, let's agree to disagree. No, not on issues of sin or in direct rebellion against God. Disputable matters, yes, as we just studied. Christ Jesus set us free from the penalty and power of sin. Jesus Christ has given us his Holy Spirit who empowers us. God has given us his word, the Bible, which reveals his wisdom and his will. Thank God that God communicated to mankind in writing, spoke to men for their understanding and direction. Thank you, Lord, for the written word. Jesus has given his church a commission which he expects her to fulfill, the Great Commission, which is what? One of the most referenced spots in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, the whole world, teaching them to obey everything I've baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, until that day, the day of Christ's return. Hallelujah. What I'd like to do, I know you have a plan, in part for the next, better part of a year, probably, right? About three quarters of a year to fulfill that commitment. You're going to go another year, right? And that commitment, from what I understand, is to make contact with some people that names have been given, they've been covered with prayer. Now, has that process started yet? The calls, making contact with them? Maybe. I think as I close there about the commission, you can't go wrong with doing something that God clearly directs us to do, right? As we look for maybe some specific way to do it in a, I wouldn't say unique situation like this, but in this situation here at AMC. I'd like to close. Who is the ones that volunteered or was delegated to make those calls on the list of people that everybody's praying for? Nobody knows. Haven't found any yet. All right. I've done that. It's just something I did. I took the directory. Remember when I brought the directory in for AMC? I said, there's a lot of people you probably haven't seen in maybe years. I said, why don't you give them a call and just see how they're doing? And I did, and we got together. Well, you remember, we met over at the farm. You were there when we came over shooting, right? Yeah. One of the guys from this church that left came over there. We all gathered together with our men's group, and he was there. And I've been over to their house a couple of times. Why do I say that? It needs to be done. It needs to be done. My brothers and sisters, make connection with people. You're hurting, so are they. Don't think they're not. I'll just make this suggestion. You don't need a committee. You just need a desire to reach out to maybe somebody whose faith is a little weaker, or maybe stronger, and you can be encouraged. So let me end with a prayer for you all. I just want to see you do what pleases the Lord. not Dave just said. I want to see what you do fulfill what pleases the Lord. And clearly, we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. So I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit convict you and strengthen you and motivate you to take a step of contacting somebody. Maybe not from the directory, from AMC, but a neighbor. Somebody. Cindy and I are doing that. We're going around. I mean, people from AMC. Stopping in, dropping off some food and that. Can I pray that way? Can I have an amen to go ahead and pray that for you? Amen. Well, Father, we put all our cares before you because we know you care for us. As we approach this season where there's much joy, much giving, we know that there are many people, many, who are lonely and hurting. We know that suicide rates go higher during the Christmas season because people don't have hope. They don't have friends. They don't have people that love them, or at least they don't see that. So, Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters, myself and Cindy, everybody here today would be encouraged, young and old, to reach out and touch somebody, to encourage them, to check in on them, to simply love them through you and your Spirit by your grace. Just making contact, letting them know that they care because you care for them. So may you fill that desire within the hearts of all those here today to please you by ministering and encouraging others. We pray this for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.